Welcome back. This is the second week, or podcast number two of TV Campfire, and I'm Libya El-Amin, your host again this week, and my guest for this week is Greg. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Greg. I'm in St. Louis, Missouri.
And just in case I didn't really mention it last week, I'm located in Los Angeles, and I'm going to be having guests from pretty much anywhere that I know someone from around the world, or and anyone who's interested in television wants to talk about it, that kind of thing. So this week, what we have up is we're going to talk about House, Chuck, Big Bang Theory, 24, Castle, NCIS, and I'm going to add some interviews from last week, continue to add in those interviews. A little bit about Human Target, the Psych finale, 30 Rock, and Caprica and Spartacus as far as new shows go, and anything else we feel like talking about as we go along. So starting off Monday, let's talk about House. What'd you think?
House continues to capture my attention, and I'm not really sure why, because each week the plot is really the same. You know, there's always a patient, and it's really difficult to figure out, you know, what's the root cause of the illness. And the team goes through all of their different permutations for illness. And then finally, somewhere down in the end of the episode, House has his epiphany, and then he figures out what's going on.
And it's never lupus.
No. But every week it's the same thing. But for some reason, they're able to make each of the patients have a different backstory, which kind of makes them interesting. And they also do a really good job of continuing to develop the main characters and how they interact with each other. So this week's episode had a patient that blogged about everything that was going on in her life, even her relationship with her boyfriend. And at one point, even during the episode, they had misdiagnosed her, of course, you know, because they always misdiagnose until the end of the episode. But they gave her a choice of either getting an artificial valve for her heart or a pig valve for her heart. And she was a vegetarian. So she went out onto her blog, really, to ask all of the people who had been reading her blog and knew about all of the intimate details of her life, you know, what decision she should make. And it really put her at odds with her boyfriend, because her boyfriend, I guess they knew that if she got the pig valve that she might be able to have a child later in life, but if she got the plastic valve, she wouldn't be able to. And she knew that her audience really wouldn't like her getting the pig valve, because they were had almost gotten her to the point of becoming a vegan. So the character was really interesting, and of course at the end of the episode they really figure out what's wrong with her.
That's you know what's weird about that is you watch the show for like the inverse and opposite reason that I watch the show, because if you would actually ask me what this week's episode was about, I would have not remembered the blogger at all. Like, I totally blank out on the patient unless the patient has some really kind of phenomenal personality, like the guy that he was unconscious and he was watching the world, like really exceptional episodes like that, I'll notice the patient. But this week, my big deal was the fact that it was Chase going around like, oh, people think I'm pretty. I didn't think that people treated me differently because I'm pretty. I was like, are you kidding me?
Like, yeah, that was funny.
that was kind of interesting. And I really liked the fact that House was trying to figure out, he was trying to find someone like him, so he was doing research on his biological father, who I'm sure they will bring in at some point.
Yes.
And so, like, all of that and his machinations with Wilson and them trying to outthink each other, like, that's what I watched the show for. I watched the show for House and Wilson interactions, and every once in a while, one of the other doctors will have something interesting to say or something interesting to do, but I generally speaking, I blank out on the patients. Like, I couldn't tell you one patient from the other. So, that is fascinating.
Yeah, but it's a great, I mean, it fills in the time while you're learning about or getting that additional information about the Wilson and House relationship. You know, and this week, you know, I guess House kind of discovers that Wilson was in some sort of amateur film.
You mean the porn?
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, broadcasts it to everyone and starts putting up posters of the film and everything. That was hilarious.
Okay, yes. Wilson being in amateur porn is fantastic, and that was that was pretty funny. But like I said, that's the stuff that's why I watch House. I don't watch it for the patient of the week because you know the formula at this point. It's they're going to say one thing and it's not that, then they're going to say something else and it's not that, and then he's going to sit around thinking, and then Wilson or somebody will come in and talk to House about something totally different, and then he'll have his epiphany, and then, you know, like, how many epiphany faces does Hugh Laurie have to have in his repertoire? You know? So, yeah, I mean, the patient of the week and figuring out what's wrong, and, you know, you never understand what they're talking about anyway. It's like they have something bipolar dysphoria lips wopsaba, and you're like, all right, oh man, I just realized something. I totally forgot the news. I forgot my news section. All right, backing up slightly. The news for this week, in case you guys haven't heard, is big pilot season going on in L.A., and Summer Glau and Alan Tudyk from Firefly fame have both been cast in pilots, different ones. One, Summer Glau is in an NBC pilot about superheroes, and she plays a blogger, and I'm not quite sure what that means. I don't know if she's going to have superpowers or if she's blogging about the person who has superpowers. And the other thing is Alan Tudyk is cast in the remake of The Rockford Files.
Moan.
I was waiting for your reaction to that.
I'm just kind of getting tired of all the remakes. You know, The Rockford Files was from an era with a lot of cop shows in the 80s, like Magnum P.I. And oh my gosh, there was like tons of them. And you know, that era was there. You know, the Glenn A. Larson era, the Mike Post and Pete Carpenter music era, and that's done. You know, so to remake that, you know, it's just, oh, come on. You know, I mean,
have an original idea is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so what are they going to do? They're going to take all of the campy stuff from the 80s, and then they're going to make it darker? Is that the plan, just to make it more realistic, or what the heck are they doing?
I don't know. I don't have really high hopes for it. So one good thing about living in L.A. and going to Comic-Con and stuff like that is we usually get to see pilots early. So there's that.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
one other piece of somber news is last week I talked about the fact that I watched Spartacus. And they were just about to start second season of Spartacus in about 2 weeks, and they had to put a hold on production because the lead character, Andy Whitfield, or the lead actor, he just got diagnosed with leukemia. So he's going back home to New Zealand to be treated, and they don't have any idea how long it's going to take to treat him. They don't know. Right now they said they found it early and that his odds or his chances are good. But you got to think about chemo just wipes you out, and you know the gladiators are super fit, so I don't know how long it's going to be till he's in fighting form. But my whole thing is, you know, you just want him to be well, and I just think that, I mean, this is his big breakout role. This was like his big chance. He hasn't really done anything before this, and so he all of a sudden is on a show that people are talking about, and it's really great. He gets renewed for second season, and then he gets cancer. And I was like, man. So that was just all I was thinking about. And those are all the news items that I have. Do you have anything?
Well, I was kind of wondering if you had heard any information. I just heard briefly that there was kind of a scandal going on because the Academy Awards was last week. And, you know, they always do an in memorial thing.
Ah, I know what you're talking about.
It's the way. And apparently someone mistakenly omitted Farrah Fawcett in the whole thing, and so that now there's like this big, you know, hubbub.
The only thing that I've heard, and this is all gossip at work, is that they accidentally omitted her. At least we think it's an accident. But then when her husband asked for an apology, they refused. They were like, "Well, we're not going to apologize." I was like, "Really?" I was like, "That's just tactless."
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that I have heard from this end of the country.
Yeah, plus it's effortless. I mean, all you have to do is go out there and say, oh, you know, we didn't mean to omit Farrah Fawcett. You know, we would like to recognize her for all of her achievements.
The thing that's even more beat up about it is the fact that they spent just as much effort putting out a statement saying we're not going to apologize.
Right. Oh my goodness. Well, yeah, I guess you never know what was motivated by that.
I have no idea. But okay, back to television versus
Yeah.
movies. The next TV show we got up is Chuck. So go forth.
Oh, well, I was getting, I guess the last episode of Chuck, I kind of got really angry because I was kind of liking the way the character was going and Chuck's character, how he was kind of getting away from Sarah and he was getting his own love interest. And so that kind of opened it up so that Shaw and Sarah could kind of get together and then Chuck could have his own love interest. And then right at the end of the episode, it just completely, he breaks up with his girlfriend. And so I'm just like, I'm yelling at my television screen.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You liked Sarah and Shaw because I find Shaw creepy.
Really?
Yeah, I find
Well,
him.
I kind of like, well, obviously, they kind of explain, that Sarah, here she goes again, basically. She already got involved
Bryce.
with Bryce, and then she got involved with Chuck, and she probably still has feelings for Chuck, and now she might be getting involved with Shaw, so I don't know if she's going to step back from kind of fishing from the company well. This is what you're never supposed to do. But I don't know. It seems like, I don't know whether that was fan pressure where people really like the chemistry between Sarah and Chuck and they kind of want to get back to that. I don't know what's going
Well,
on,
I
but.
mean, basically, it's the same formula. The whole show is built around Chuck and Sarah. And everything that we've seen have been just obstacles to keep them apart. So Shaw is nothing but an obstacle to keep Sarah and Chuck from, because they have the moonlighting problem. They don't want to get their main characters together because then they think the show's over. So then they
Right,
throw all
right.
these crazy obstacles in their way to keep them from being together. So they throw Chuck, a new girlfriend, they throw Sarah, Shaw, and but the whole premise is that eventually, by the end of the show, they're going to end up back together. But I did think that it was odd that they broke up Chuck and his girl, I can't remember her name, and his girlfriend that quickly and in such a manner that was, and then this week's episode was more about the fact that him denying his feelings about Sarah basically prevented him from flashing.
Right.
Which was just, I was like, really? So he has to say, he has to admit that, oh, I'm in
Yeah,
love with
I was kind
Sarah.
of doing the same thing.
Yeah, that was a little cheesy. But the best thing about the episode is Morgan now knows. That is
Absolutely. That was
fantastic.
great.
Yeah, it's like my friend is a super spy.
Yeah.
That's what we've been waiting for that forever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially since, Mr. Awesome knows. And he knows about Chuck, and so it was just a matter of time before Morgan was going to find out. But I kind of like the whole episode where they lure Sarah and Shaw away. This team comes in to find Castle, and then Morgan kind of sees everything. The locker's opening up, and he starts creeping down. The creepy hallway. In the castle and. Kind of gets everything kind of revealed to him slowly, and then finally, Chuck has to pretty much tell him everything that's going on and everything that's been going on for all of the seasons, all the way up to this point.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, I'll tell you everything from the beginning. And then we cut away, and then they cut back. He's like, and that's everything that happened. I was like, great. That was pretty good. But yeah, I'm really excited about that and how that's going to change the show. And what I have to admit about third season of Chuck is that they have really kind of changed the formula. They've changed the tone of the show in a subtle way, but it's really interesting. It's become more of a. It's a more serious show than it ever was, and it's a little more dark and it's a little more dramatic. I mean, it still has a comedy and it still has a goofiness and everything, but Chuck is
Yeah.
becoming a different person.
Yeah, like
But
the revolt at the Bymore, where they actually get the Bymore flag and they're up on top of the mound of merchandise. They got the flag up like the statue from Iwo Jima.
And then, of course, then they collapse and fall on top of each other.
Yeah.
I did like Casey when he was like, "Let me in," and they're like, "Are you with us?" And he's like, "I hate the man," or whatever he was whatever his speech was hilarious. Like, I really like Casey, and I want more episodes with just Casey. Like, he just needs an episode just all about him. Well, actually, that's kind of where we're going, isn't it? Because he got contacted at the end.
Yeah, good segue. Because they did kind of a full backstory on Sarah, you know, because we get to meet Sarah's father and the whole thing in previous seasons, and they really spent a lot of time on her. I guess really the only episode I remember where they did some backstory on Casey was with, an ex-lover that he had, who ended up being part of the Russian mob or something to that effect.
They haven't done a lot with Casey, and I really enjoy Adam Baldwin. And I find myself not really doing the grunt, but laughing and giggling every time he does the grunt. So every time he just grunts at somebody, I just go, it also reminds me of Firefly, because he's pretty much playing Jane, he's wearing a Bymore outfit. I mean, he's playing the same character, and so I really enjoy that. All right, we're going to move on to Big Bang Theory. Is that cool, or you got more?
No, that's great.
Okay. Big Bang this week I'm getting confused from last week. Remind me again.
Oh, Big Bang Theory this week was The Lord of the Rings.
My precious.
Yes,
my
they
precious.
Find, they go and they get a big box of stuff, and there's an elf doll in it, and they find a ring that may or may not have been used during the real production of the movie.
I have to say the elf doll thing was a little creepy, a little bizarre. I'm not quite sure where they were going with that. He was like, I had an elf doll when I was a child, and he would bring my father back. And I was like, dude, that's really pathetic and a little weird.
Yeah.
But the ring, I mean, they basically were, I saw where they were going with it, and I liked the little transition when, I like the fact that Sheldon kept trying to steal it. like every time, he's like, you should not have, you know, should have kept a better visual on the ring, and he would steal it like every 5 minutes. Like, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I have a question in general about the show. What do you think about Leonard and Penny's relationship?
Well, yeah, I was kind of wondering about that, because typically they'll have some sort of element of Leonard and Penny in an episode. Just to kind of really restate to the audience that relationship is going on. But what was strange is it seemed that this episode was really just focused on the ring.
He gave up his position on the ring because Penny was like, I bought some fancy underwear, so come on over.
Oh, yeah.
So he totally dropped the ring.
Yeah, that's true. I do remember that. Yeah. That's from Victoria's Secret.
Yes, right. Yes. But I don't know... I buy their relationship, and then I don't buy it. It's like a weird thing. I kind of like them together, but strangely, I think I said this last week, I like Sheldon and Penny spending time together way more than I like Penny and Leonard spending time together. Because, they're a couple, but they're kind of boring now. And Sheldon and Penny are hilarious. You put them in any situation, and it's just the two of them, and I'm laughing hysterically. So... I really like them.
Especially the previous episode with Sheldon getting the traffic ticket.
Yeah, yes, and she had to take him. Oh, but this week she punches him out, which was great. I love that reveal in the cafeteria where he's like, they're like, so what does she do? And he slowly looks up, and you see his face is like destroyed. And that was great.
Yeah.
But nothing overly exciting. I mean, the Lord of the Rings mock was good. We didn't really learn anything new about our characters per se, other than I think Leonard's a little dishonest because he was like, oh, I shipped it off to Peter Jackson, but he really had it hidden under his bed or something. I was like, you lose points there, guy.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that.
It was like, my precious, I could give it up for no one.
Yeah.
Okay, 24. Are you caught up with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you really excited about this season?
I hear from some people that they're like, well, it's the same formula and they're doing the same things and there's nothing different. But maybe, again, it's the characters. You know, they've got the whole Dana Walsh and Cole, and of course, you know, I'm a big fan of Katie Sackhoff, so...
Man, her storyline makes me want to shoot myself. More like her storyline makes me want to shoot her.
Well, you know... Yeah, you know, the thing I guess that was getting me with that whole thing is her boyfriend, he was just... He just seemed like an angry ex-boyfriend, really. But the guy that, you know, his friend that he was with, his buddy, was really the guy that just kept getting him in trouble and kept getting him in trouble. And, you know, so many of us have those, you know, friends from long ago that we've had like that that, you know, are just no good for us, but we still hang out with them anyway.
Well, then they... Well, I mean, I don't care about the whole murder cover-up or whatever, but what's going on? And then when you think it's over, like, they've killed them and they've thrown them in a lake, though they only put them, like, 2 feet deep in water. I was like, are you kidding me? This is how you guys get rid of bodies?
Well, anyone who watches any sort of, you know, crime scene investigation show would kind of cringe at that, knowing that they're just going to find all sorts of evidence.
I know. They didn't put on any gloves. They didn't cover. I was like, you're sweating all over the bodies. I was like, are you kidding me? So, like, yeah, they, like, none of the stuff they were doing was proper. But, I mean, I was like, okay, well, the storyline's over now, you know? And then, like, just when I was, like, happy the stuff was going to get back to whatever, she immediately is called by the parole officer. I was like, oh, my God, it's not over yet.
Yeah,
I was like,
exactly.
Have you got to be kidding me? And then I was just impatient as well this week because the guy that had the bomb strapped to him that ends up in that tank, I was like, would you jump in the Deadpool already? Like, he was like, I was like, he's waiting in the shallow end. You know what the Deadpool is, right?
No, I don't know.
Oh, it's like, I read Television Without Pity all the time, and they have all these little nicknames for things on different shows, and on 24, because people get killed so often on that show, they say stuff like, such and such got thrown into the Deadpool, which means that the character has been killed.
Oh.
And then they make bets on how long before another character is going to be in the Deadpool. And so my thing, when I was watching this week's episode, I was like, this guy is wading very slowly into the Deadpool, and it's taking him an hour. I was like, jump in already. Because you knew that guy was going to die. It was just a matter of when. And they made it last the whole hour, and I just found it annoying. Though I have to say, the little comment that Jack made, you know, to the guys, like, if you blow yourself up, I will make sure your mother dies. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that was really cool. Well, that's a Jack Bauer.
Oh, it's totally. It was totally Jack Bauer. And he was like, you can't do that. You're a federal agent. He was like, not really. And if you knew me, you would know I would absolutely do that. And I was like, awesome. Like, that was the only awesome moment in the entire episode. I was literally, like, the big Taran reveal, I was kind of like, I suspected that, like, 3 episodes ago, because he was, like, all the Hassan was all irrational. He was like, maybe Taran is a traitor. And it seemed illogical, but I was like, you know what? Maybe Taran is a traitor.
And I did not think that. So my brain was not going that direction. You know, I just thought, you know, because with all the stuff going on, you know, him getting paranoid with his brother wanting to kill him and the whole thing, I actually didn't see that coming. I really didn't.
It's a 24 maneuver. It's like they give you the mole and then they go, oh, it's the person not really a mole. And then it goes, no, really, they really are a mole. It's one of those. They've done it before. So.
Yeah.
When he, like, accuses him, he seems totally paranoid and out of his mind. But then when the daughter ends up with him, I was like, maybe Taran is a traitor. And, yeah, totally is. So that's a good twist. I'm not sure where that's going to go, and I don't know if the daughter's going to end up in the Deadpool. Taran is going to end up in the Deadpool, definitely.
Because we see scenes for next week where she's, you know, tied up with, you know,
Oh, I didn't see the previews. Thanks for that spoiler, man.
Sorry.
No, I'm just messing with you. I really don't care. Not on 24.
No, one thing, though, that was kind of annoying, and it seems like, you know, and we're probably going to have more of this, you know, when you were talking about the Deadpool, is every single lead that they get, ends up being a person in this series, you know, in other seasons, you know, they'll get a lead, which is, you know, some sort of piece of computer equipment that they have to go analyze or, you know, some map or something that they have to read and figure out. But it seems like each lead has been a person, and then that person ends up getting killed right before Jack gets there.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of getting on my nerves. You know, I kind of thought that the boy with the explosive belt, the explosive vest, you know, when he finally decided that, you know, he was going to, you know, save his mom or what have you, that they were going to, you know, get the vest off and actually have a prisoner that they were going to take in. And then, you know, and then we probably wouldn't see him for a few episodes because, you know, they take him off and they'll, you know, go and...
Well, I figured even if they got the vest off of him, that those guys were watching through scopes. I was like, they're totally going to snipe him. You know, if he got out, if they managed...
I think that would have been a better... I think that would have been a better way for him to join the Deadpool, really. they actually got him out of the vest. It looks like everybody's going to be okay. They're going back to CTU, and then they blow his head off. I would have been happier with that.
Okay. Okay, that's valid.
That sounds kind of bad.
No. But I just, the thing that irritated me about it was I knew he was going to die. You know, and it just took so long. They were just, it felt like they were just drawing it out. I was just like, kill him already. And I felt like, it felt like a wasted 45 minutes to me. It didn't really advance the story. Now, do we have a clue? We don't have any leads now. Well, yes, we do. We have Taryn now, sorry.
Right, yeah.
Taryn is the new lead, but now they got to find him, and it's like, okay, whatever.
Well, I like the tension, you know, that his girlfriend knows now, and so, you know, she's going to try to, you know.
I have to give her credit. She's playing it off pretty well. Like, most, like, if you find out that your girlfriend or whatever is, like, an evil terrorist, like, how well are you going to be cool? She was pretty cool. I got to give her points for that.
Yeah, I guess they did that in last season with the dictator from Africa.
Yeah, and she did not carry it off. She gave herself away in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, that was kind of bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to be nervous and you're going to be scared of them all of a sudden, and they're going to know that there's something wrong. So, anyway, all right, enough 24, because
okay.
I can only take so much of 24. And I'm amazed that I'm still watching the show at this point, actually.
I'm still in. I'm still hooked.
All right. And I stayed with it because I knew we wanted to talk about it. All right, Castle, I know you randomly watch Castle.
Mm-hmm.
This week's up, I watch it every week because I love Nathan Fillion. So this week's episode was pretty funny. It was basically there's a dominatrix that was killed. I don't know if you figure that out earlier or later, but they end up going to this sex shop and they end up going to this dominatrix facility, and Castle is like drooling. Like, he can't speak. Because he's totally, you know, into the scene and into, like, it just looked like if somebody cracked a whip, he would be on all fours. Like, he was just totally into it, and it was pretty funny. And, it's called her Nikki Heat. Oh, my goodness. What's the cop's name? Oh, wait, I'm totally blanking. Anyway, I hate that. Anyway,
yeah, sorry, can't help you here.
I know, I'm sorry, but she was everyone who watches Castle knows what I'm talking about, and you can all yell at me for forgetting her name, but she kept hinting to Castle that she was into the scene and she had handcuffs, and she kept teasing him through the whole episode, and it was really pretty funny. And one thing I do like about Castle this season versus first season is they're actually trying to put some effort into developing the other cops. I mean, the other cops were kind of just window dressing in first season, and this season I feel like they're giving them characters. They gave one of the guys a girlfriend we just met this week, and they're fleshing them out, and I really do like that. And I mean, granted, the show is a Nathan Fillion vehicle, and without him you have no show, but it's nice that he's surrounded by three-dimensional characters versus the one-dimensional or two-dimensional characters that he had in first season. Like, you didn't even... Those guys weren't even, like, real people. But the cases have been... They're also trying to dip their toe into being more dramatic. And sometimes I don't really like that, but I saw the preview for next week, and it looks pretty good. It looks like a very, very serious episode. And I'm like, ooh, that could be interesting. So it's kind of like... The show basically depends on its comedy, but I like the fact that it's kind of venturing a little bit into drama, and let's see how they do with that. That makes me a little nervous, but I'd be interested to see if they could actually balance the two. But why is it that you only randomly watch Castle? Why hasn't it hooked you?
Well, we've kind of talked about this, and you know, it hasn't hooked me yet because You know, I was a big, you know, SVU fan, and, you know, Mariska Hargitay, and
I actually had no idea of that, but go ahead.
Yeah, and so I liked that show, you know, and I liked that whole dynamic between, you know, the two police partners that kind of like each other, you know, and there's kind of like a little sexual tension, but not really, and, you know, but it seemed like that a lot of the networks were taking that as a cookie cutter, and I'm definitely not saying that, you know, SVU was the first of that whole line of shows, you know, because I'm sure people will call in and say, no, this was the original, but I kind of like that show, and so when I see things like Bones, and then there's like Bones, and then there's the two partners, and there's the sexual tension, and then, you know, and there's Castle, and I know they're not technically police partners, but you have that sort of same male-female police show.
Well,
it seems like cookie cutter, so that's why I hadn't really gotten into it.
Well, the only thing about that is that Nick Castle is very adamant that he's interested in her. Like, he's like, we could just go right now if you want. And she's so that's
like,
different.
Flirting or anything like that.
I mean, he's very blatant. He's very blatant, and so there's tension, but it's a different kind of tension. He's just kind of like, whenever you say the word, we're going, which is very different than like SVU and Bones, and like both of them, they're all in denial. And what I find refreshing about Castle is there's no denial. He's like, come on, let's go. But anyway.
But yeah, I'm not completely opposed, so maybe at some point I might get hooked in. No, so I am a Nathan Fillion fan from Firefly, so yeah.
All right, Tuesday is NCIS, and I know you also do not watch that show, so I won't get into big details about it, but again, this week we had a pretty good episode. I was very saddened at the end where we find out that, because Ducky was acting weird, and you find out that Ducky's mom had died, and he didn't tell anybody, because he was like every day he was going out to lunch, and nobody could figure out where he was going, and then they finally found out that he was going to his mother's graveside and putting flowers down and eating lunch and talking to her. And I was like, wow, that's depressing that he didn't feel like he could tell anybody. But the reason I watch NCIS is all the interpersonal stuff. I could not tell you what the case was about. It's like House. Like, I don't know who the patient is, and with NCIS, I don't know who got killed or what the crime was or whatever. I can only tell you what happened between the characters. And so it was kind of a sad moment, but it was interesting to note which characters noticed first that there was something wrong. Like, the two female characters immediately realized something was wrong with Ducky, just based on little hints. And instead of going to talk to Ducky, both of them went to Gibbs, because he's like the father figure. They both went to him and said, something's wrong with Ducky, you should figure out what it is. Because him and Ducky are kind of like brothers. And so then Gibbs notices something's wrong, and so he starts doing his own investigating, and then he confronts him at the end, and is like, you know, we're a family. If something's wrong, you need to tell us, and we'll take care of you. And then they tease each other, because he figured out that the reason that Ducky switched his ties is because he's interested in this woman. And then they just tease each other for the end. And I mean, that's what I watched the show for. And right here, I'm going to cut in the interviews. I'm cutting a couple more interviews this week. I hope you liked the ones from last week. And the first interview is with Rocky Carroll, who plays director Leon Vance. And the second is with Cody DiPablo, who plays Ziva David.
Hi, I'm Livia from Weenopolis.
Hi, Livia. Nice to meet you.
The first question I have for you is, when you first came on NCIS, it was very an adversarial role
right.
that you had,
right.
and that's been changing, and how do you see that changing in the future? Where do you see that going?
Well, I think what I've learned with the writers and the producers of NCIS, things change just enough to give you a certain sense of comfort, or maybe a false sense of security, and then they change again. When I think about some of the reasons that the show is successful after 7 seasons, one of the things I think that the producers have been so adroit at doing is given you a sense of this is the way things are going to be, and then suddenly they're not. And what I love best about playing the Leon character is that he's such a he's a bit of a question mark to begin with. So you can go in any direction character-wise with this person. I think he and Gibbs will always have, because they're on the same side, what the fans really wanted to know at the beginning was, is this guy a good guy, or is he going to turn out to be a rogue? I think people realize he's on the right side. He's on the same side as Gibbs. How they go about doing things, you know, is really where sort of where the tension is. I like the fact that that dynamic, you know, sometimes it'll be dormant, but it'll resurface at times as well.
I was going to say, that's one of the things I do like that tension, because all the other directors that we've seen on the show have really gotten along with Gibbs, or he can roll over them.
Right.
Vance is not that character.
No, he's not that guy.
My other question is, where do you see the relationships with some of the other characters? Because you really don't get the chance to spend a lot of time
right.
with the other characters. Have you asked for that, or...?
No, I've what this has been for me, and I think, like I've said in earlier interviews, if I had been a part of this, if this had been my experience 20 years ago, I would probably have a whole different mindset about, you know, sort of looking over the fence and wondering what's on the other side. I have enough confidence in myself as an actor, and enough confidence in the creators and what they created and their process, that I know that they will write what is true to the whole of NCIS. And this character, now that we know that it fits, you know, it won't be underutilized and it won't be overutilized. You know, you'll never see an episode where you go, boy, they could have used Vance more or whatever, because they use him when it's necessary because of his position, because he sort of represents absolute power in that world. It's a slippery slope. Of course, I'm always curious, but I like what we've done, because it keeps the audience sort of guessing as to, you know, where he'll, you know, resurface.
What about the family? Like, you're one of the few characters that they've actually shown.
I'm the only character on this show with a husband, with a family.
Right.
Yeah.
So, how do you feel about that and where that's going? Are you going to see any more? Can you give us any information?
We will, but, it varies, because I think as the storylines go, what warrants, you know, sort of seeing Vance's family, you know, you have to tread very carefully, because if you overuse it, then the first thing the audience is to say is, why was his wife there? You know, you don't want to show up at work bringing lunch, you know, but the funny thing is, you know, Vance's wife has used the gun more often than Vance has on the show. So.
I was about to say, the last time we saw her, wasn't she shooting somebody?
She was shooting somebody.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I think I like
She's
it.
Got more notches in her gun belt than I do. Yeah.
Thank you very
My
much.
My pleasure.
Hi.
I'm Libya with Wheatonopolis.
I'm Libya.
We are a fan base site, so these are the voices of your fans.
Nice. Thank you.
So the first question I have for you is, what's the favorite aspect of your character for all the different bits of Ziva? She's like the assassin, the new person, now the new probie. So what? I know. So what's the favorite bit of Ziva that you like?
You know, I love the kick butt aspects of her, and I love the fact that she's so in control of her emotions. At times I hate that, because I love to be able to express. But I think, you know, the character has been going through phases, and I think right now she's gone through a lot, so she's keeping a lot of it suppressed.
What about, where do you see Ziva going as far as, she's developed a lot in the last few years. If you could go into the writer's room and say, this is where I want Ziva to go, what would you say to them?
Whenever Tony has come down,
you know, I have no idea. That's actually a really great question. I've never actually thought of where I'd like to go. I trust the writers. They've been doing such a great job as far as the journey. They've taken to all of these characters such journeys that I can only imagine what they'll do next, you know. Hopefully, I'd love to throw a lot of happiness for this character, because she's gone through so much crap, you know, in the past couple of years. But I think it's part of her background, and I think when you have like a really kind of crazy past, I think no matter what you do, it will always come back to haunt you, you know. So I think in many ways she tries really hard not to be tortured, but there's an element of her that is just a little tortured.
What about your stunts? You talked about the kick butt aspect. How much? What's percentage of your stunts versus the stunt women?
I do 99% of all my
really?
Stunts.
Excellent. That was like some trivia going around. We were wondering about that.
No, I do all of it. They have a stunt person that will do it, but I do all of my stunts, and then they want to get, you know, they want to get another pass at it. Maybe if I'm tired, if I've done it like 5 times, they'll get another one, but I do them all. It's not like I stand there and then the stunt person comes in, they do it, and then I go back. No, I do it all. And I've gotten injured and hurt a lot.
Wow.
But I kind of like it in a way. Not the hurting part, right. You know? I just really love doing the physical work. I feel very much in my body and you know, it's part of the training that I had when I was growing up, and so I love it.
Well, one thing, my mom wanted me to tell you that you're her favorite character on the show. She wanted to make sure I told you that.
Well,
so.
Mom, thank you so much. That means a lot to me. But you're going to meet some pretty awesome people in this time.
I told her.
Change your mind. Maybe your mom will change your mind.
I told her who was going to be here. She was like, make sure I tell Cody.
That's very sweet. Thank you so much. You have beautiful eyes.
Oh, thank you.
Has anybody told you that? And he's like, oh, the shape is just beautiful.
Thank you.
Jen, we're back.
Okay. You know, NCIS is a show that, you know, you've talked about how much you like it, and so you're kind of getting me interested in it, although I haven't watched it yet. But, you know, it's like a lot of shows. You know, when I first started watching or wanted to watch Supernatural, you were like, no, you absolutely cannot watch Supernatural from this point. You have to go back and watch previous seasons. So I think you kind of warned me about that for NCIS. Is that right? Do I really need to catch up to the storyline?
Well, okay. You can randomly probably watch an individual episode of NCIS and not be confused because it's not as serialized as Supernatural by any means, but the relationships between the characters definitely change. And the episode that came on like last week, it was about Gibbs' mother-in-law, and it was very emotional. But if you had watched that episode by itself, you wouldn't have understood why it was emotional or what the hang-ups were or what the flashbacks meant or anything. It would have been very, very confusing. Like, they showed all these flashbacks, and the only reason the flashbacks made sense, like, they gave a shorthand version of flashbacks, which were cut from other flashbacks from previous seasons. And if you watched it and you had no idea what had been going on, you would have been really, really confused. And the way that they reveal the stuff about Gibbs, who's the main guy, Mark Harmon, was fantastic. Like, the first two seasons was, they had a villain. They had, like, a super villain. You know, like, what does Buffy have? Their big bad? They had, like, a big bad for the first two seasons. It was this guy named Ari. Well, actually, you don't even know his name for the first season. He's just the guy that basically breaks into NCIS, takes people hostage, shoots some people, disappears, comes back, and they don't know who he is, and Gibbs is totally obsessed with finding this guy, and it takes him, like, the whole next season to actually find him and figure out who he is, and they go back and forth, and there's several episodes, and it all comes to a huge conclusion, which I think is hilarious. This is the premiere of season 3, which was called Kill Ari Part 1 and 2. Like, that was the title, which I thought was fantastic. Because they kept telling Gibbs that he couldn't, once he figured out who this guy was, they were like, well, you know, he's protected, it's a good, you know, we can't, he's part of whatever, and you can't hurt him, and they basically were like, you can't do anything to him, and he kept saying, well, this guy is not who you say, who you think he is, and he's like, I don't care what you tell me, I am going to kill him. And he straight up told his boss that. He was like, you can give me whatever order you is, but I'm going to kill this man. And he was straight up, and that's pretty much what happens by the end of the second part. So you're just like, wow. And that's the thing I love about Gibbs, is technically speaking, he's a police officer, but he is not afraid to, if somebody breaks a code or whatever, and you hurt one of his people, he will kill you. And then he will hide the body, and he's very good at that. So, and I really do like that. And that's the episodes that you would miss out on if you jumped in right now. And I heard that there's a huge thing coming in the finale of this season, but I bet it wouldn't have anywhere near the impact, emotional impact, if you don't know the backstory. Because there was Hiatus Part 1 and 2, which was like a huge episode, where they actually do the cheesy amnesia thing, but it's fantastic.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because they do a weird one where He has amnesia, but not like his whole life. He only has amnesia for 10 years. He's missing 10 years of his life. So he thinks that he's still a Marine fighting in Iraq. So he doesn't remember any of the last 10 years of his life. And so that's how they do. And then they have this brilliant scene where one of his friends that he knew before starts filling him in on everything that's happened in the last 10 years. And they get to 9/11 and he's telling him what happened in 9/11. It was fantastic. Just like, just the drama and the look on his face and his reaction to all the things that happens. And he realizes, you know, what his job is and what... Because the difference between NCIS and like a cop show is they deal with... They're federal agents, so they deal with bigger things than you would get on a cop show. Like, sometimes they're on an aircraft carrier, sometimes they're on a Marine base, and they go all over the country. They go all over the world. Like, they've had episodes where they're in different parts of the world. So it's a bigger show, and the scope is bigger, and the stakes are bigger. And not every episode deals with that. But when you do get to those episodes, it does matter what order you watch them in. And I wish you were here because I actually own all the DVDs. And I could just loan them to you. Oh, and by the way, Supernatural is on sale for like $14 for every season.
Got to go get it. It's phenomenal. I tell you what, I will give it a shot. And hopefully I'll be able to comment on some future episodes in future podcasts.
Yay. I'm very happy. Real quick, White Castle. White Collar. I don't think you watched that show either, but White Collar had their big season finale, and it's the guy who played Bryce in Chuck is the lead in White Collar.
Oh, okay. I have been flipping through the channels and have seen him again.
Yeah, it's actually pretty decent. I mean, it's NCIS is a better show, but White Collar's fun. It's a fun show. He's basically a criminal. He has a little anklet, and he helps the FBI solve crimes because that's his... He's basically on parole, and the anklet, he has to be within a couple of miles, but since he lives in Manhattan, that's not a big deal. And he basically, he has...
Yeah, that definitely wouldn't work in St. Louis.
No, if you can only have a couple of miles, yeah, you'd be screwed. So it's pretty good. The finale was predictable. Like, there's a big explosion, and before the big explosion happened, I was like, that thing's gonna explode. Like, I could totally tell that that's what they were leading to. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have somebody standing in front of something, and you're like, that thing behind him is about to blow up. And I had one of those moments. However, they also had the relationship between... What?
No, just the foreshadowing of the
phone
explosion. Sorry about that.
I already muted mine.
Sorry.
All right. So anyway, it was a good finale. I can't wait till next season. I'm sure they're gonna do a revenge thing because somebody got killed in the big explosion, and so he'll be like, "I must get revenge." But you know, like I said, it was a good finale. And then the next day we have Human Target, which is a show you do watch, right?
Yes. I just haven't caught up on this week's episode yet. So, you know,
so what do you think?
It's going to be a spoiler for me.
Well, no, I'm not going to talk about the show specifically. What do you think of the show itself? Because I didn't talk about the show last week.
Oh, you know, I like the show. I don't know how popular it is. I kind of like the characters. I like how they're kind of going into Chance's kind of backstory a little bit. So we find out more. We're gonna find out more about why he, I guess, became the person that he is, or why he does what he does.
Some of it I find to be a little cheesy, though. I do enjoy the show, but almost kind of barely. It's a weird thing. Like, each episode, it really depends on the episode. Like, this week's episode I thought was blah. Last week's episode, I don't remember what was last week's, but I remember the one where he was getting that guy out of the building. He was a big scientist who was being held captive, and he had to get that guy out of the building. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
That one was a lot of fun. Like, I thought that was really a good episode. But it's really dependent week to week for me, whether or not I find... 'Cause the backstory so far that you're talking about that they're giving us, I don't care. They haven't told us anything interesting. Oh, but the preview for next week looked good. I just remembered that. They find there's apparently next week there's an assassin that's after Chance, and it's a guy he trained. So that looks pretty interesting. A lot of hand-to-hand fighting and all that stuff, and you know, back history. So you're gonna get your back history, but at the moment, I don't find the back history that interesting. I kind of find it blah.
Well, for me, I think it's kind of in between 24, which is, I mean, really, it's like intense, and you're watching it, and your heart is beating fast, to Chalk, which is really kind of lighthearted, and it has some tense moments. I kind of see that the Human Target's kind of in between. I think it's an entertaining show. I like it.
Yeah, but I don't know if I have to see it every week. It's one of those shows that is, it's fun, but it's not appointment television. Oh, and the Psych finale was this week, too. It was okay. Do you watch Psych at all?
No. I'm not a... I don't catch any shows on USA, actually.
Well, a show that's about to start up on USA, which you should catch, is Marshall... Wait. In Plain Sight.
Okay.
It's about U.S. Marshals, and it's... I love it, but... and that's going to start in, like, a week or two. But Psych... Normally, the episode Psych is like a comedy that's an hour long, and the guys are really fun. And every once for their finale, they always try to do something big and dramatic. The only thing I didn't like the fact that they introduced this big bad guy from last season's finale, and then he comes back for this season's finale, which seems great, except that then he gets away again, and I was like, really, we're gonna have to deal with the same guy again? So that didn't really work for me, but I do like the team pulling together. It wasn't one of the best episodes. Like, they've had other episodes earlier in the season that were funnier than this one, and I love the fact that you got to do the pineapple search. Like, they have literally in every episode, there's a pineapple somewhere in the background, and, like, they have this contest, spot the pineapple, and...
Really?
It's actually a lot of fun. I'm sorry. It's totally cheesy, and I totally love it.
That's like just we're trying to rack up numbers. I mean, you know, what is it going to be, a sweepstakes or something?
Oh yeah, that you win a prize if you spot the pineapple, you win a prize. I've never actually tried to win the prize, but I've always tried to find the pineapple, and they've had it since season one. Like, that's been a thing that they've had every week. But anyway, I mean, the psych finale was blah, but the I gotta stop using the word blah. But the Psych finale was pretty good, except for the fact that the big bad villain gets away, and apparently we're gonna have to deal with them again. And then they had a cheesy mask on, and it was just like, So
a friend of mine likes Psych and Burn Notice, but
Notice is fantastic. Yeah, Burn Notice is probably the best show on USA. It's heads and shoulders better than some of the other shows I've been talking about. Like, Psych is a fun show, but Burn Notice is a really good show. Thursday. I'm trying to crank through this.
Sorry. And I just want to make one more comment.
Okay, go for it.
Wednesday. Wednesday used to be my Nip Tuck day, and Nip Tuck is now done. Series finale, so it's done. But I'm glad it's done. The last season, I had no idea what they were doing with that. They were throwing. It seemed like they were just throwing in situations just to bring all of the original actors back for the season. And at some point, I even found myself, because Kristen was lecturing his son on taking care of children. I'm like, well, wait a minute, I haven't seen Wilbur in like the entire season, and then all of a sudden he shows up. So, you know,
Wilbur is the most mysterious child on that show. He's like some weeks he's on every week, and then some seasons you don't see him at all. So yes.
Yeah. So glad it's done. I don't know what happened in the last season, but I enjoyed it up until this year. So.
I liked the cancer storyline, and then once they resolved that, it was like they were floundering. And yeah. I agree. I haven't actually. The reason we're not talking about the finale is because I actually haven't watched it yet because I got bored. All right, real quick. 30 Rock is somebody wanted to know. Emailed me, was like, I said last week. I said I watched two comedies, and they wanted to know what the other one was. The other one is I watched Big Bang Theory, and the second comedy is 30 Rock. And I am a snob about comedies. I didn't watch any comedies at all before I started watching those two. But they're really funny to me, because usually I'll watch a comedy and not laugh at all. Like, I can't stand The Office. I don't find it funny at all. But 30 Rock,
I find
Jack Donaghy very hilarious. Any scene with Jack and Liz in the same room, and I'm almost crying. So this week's episode was pretty good, especially the emotional, like, Jack broke down and was crying, and because he thought he was about to lose his company, and then Liz was like coming in for a hug landing, and it was so I love the two of them. It was pretty good. The other characters are hit and miss depending on what their story is like. Do you watch 30 Rock or no?
I saw the episode with Oprah,
and I don't remember that episode. When was that?
That was really I guess. Liz had taken a bunch of drugs when she got on the plane, and she thought she was.
Oh, right, because I was like, okay, I totally remember that. That was pretty good. That was a pretty good episode.
That was really funny.
Yeah, I watched that show. I know this is sacrilege, but I only have two spots on my TiVo, and on Thursdays it's Supernatural versus 30 Rock versus Fringe. So three of those come on at the same time. And I have my TiVo to record all three. However, 30 Rock has priority over Fringe.
Oh my goodness!
I know it's
sacrilege.
I understand that, but I've been watching 30 Rock longer, and I just go and find Fringe and watch it on the website. I'm not that I don't watch the Fringe episode. I just will watch it later.
Well, you've expressed that you don't necessarily like Olivia Dunham's character, and I like her.
Oh, I hate her a lot. I like everyone else. I like Walter, and I like Peter, and I like Astrid. I like everybody on Fringe except for her. And she's the most bland character. It's just she makes me want to fall asleep. It's like, did I fall asleep for a little while?
Oh my goodness! No, she's great.
Supernatural was not new this week. It will be new in 2 weeks, the 25th.
Yes, but it was still a good episode.
It's
the episode where Sam and Dean go back in time because Anna decided to go back in time to try to kill
their parents
before they were born.
Right. That was a very good episode. Now, I love that little bit when they actually tell the mom, like, this is our life, we are your sons, and they do all that. And then, of course, it's all futile because the angels delete everybody's memory. So, but it was still good. Oh, the best thing about that was when the dad becomes Michael.
Right.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, you said you really liked the way that actor lit up.
Oh, yeah. I was like, who is it? Like, before, when he was playing John Winchester, he was all right. But as soon as he became Michael, it was just like, whoa, who is that guy? Yeah, he was fantastic as Michael. Okay, we're at the 10-minute call mark, so we're going to switch over to Caprica real quick.
Oh, okay. Caprica this week, I like Caprica. I like all of the different storylines that are going on. There are some slow parts, you know, especially when, you know, they're in there working on the freaking Cylon, I at first I wasn't really kind of keen on the whole virtual world thing, but now I'm kind of getting into it. I'm not sure where they're going with the fact that Adama's daughter can you know make avatars disappear. I'm not really sure where that's going, but. That's almost like a Matrix sort of thing, you know. She's going to be the one, and she can rewrite things in the Matrix. And I was like, I'm leery.
Well, all I have to say is right now, the only storylines that are really interesting to me in Caprica are the ones that are going on in the virtual world. I mean, it's interesting. I don't know where they're going, and I find that interesting. I also like the whole revenge plot with Greystone. The guy being his rival and getting in his face, and they're trying to scramble and figure out what to do, and they're running out of money and all that. Like, all that stuff is interesting.
What about the dynamic between Clarice?
Greystone's
wife. That's getting a little freaky.
It feels so cliche that it irritates the crap out of me. Like, I was watching them talk and hang out. She's like, oh, you're my friend. And I was like, oh, cool. And then Greystone was like, oh, do I need to be jealous? She's like, I'll let you know. And I was like, what does that mean? And then they're having the drunken session, and they're, like, leaning into each other. And I was like, oh, my God, if they kiss, I'm done. Like, I am done with this. Because, and it's not that I don't believe in lesbian relationships on shows. I totally do. My problem is this feels very, it feels like a bunch of guys in a room thinking, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we got the two hot girls to kiss? Like, that's what it feels like to me versus anything that has any kind of realism going on with the show. And it just feels like, just had me rolling my eyes.
You know, I didn't, you know, I was watching it, I was just watching it right before I called you, and I didn't get that. I mean, I saw that that scene could have gone that way, but especially when she was talking to Daniel, and, you know, about the whole, you know, should I be jealous? I thought really when she replied, it was really just, you know, she was just kind of telling him, you know, maybe she wants him to pay a little bit more attention
right,
to
right.
her.
Right, yeah.
You know, because he's been working so much. I didn't really think that, you know, that relationship is really going there. But I do like that because they've become close, that now Clarice is kind of treading on some dangerous area, whether or not she's going to reveal that she's part of STO.
I don't care. I mean, like,
Can you imagine what would happen if...
I don't care about Clarice, her character.
She found out that the Clarice was part of STO, and
she would freak out and probably try to claw her eyes out, but...
And then she would say, well, you're the one who, you know, put all these things in my daughter's head, and you're the cause of why my daughter was on that train.
Right, but do you really think Clarice is going to tell her that? Like, really? I don't believe so. And I just... The teenage storylines with Zoe and her new beau or whatever, I don't care. Like, there are so many, you're talking about how great it is that there are so many different storylines, and I suppose it's good because if the show was only about one or two things, and they were the one or two things that I really don't like, then I wouldn't be watching the show anymore.
Right.
I feel like Ron Moore is holding me hostage at this point in that I feel obligated to watch the show because I love Battlestar Galactica and I do like some aspects of the show and I like the Adama family and stuff like that, but some of the other storylines just hurt my head, and if this did not have anything to do with Battlestar, I would not be watching it. I would have probably already stopped watching it by now.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think it's getting more of my interest now. And I agree with you. I don't really care anything about the Zoe relationship with the tech guy. Other than the fact that it is kind of creepy.
Oh yeah, like who the heck? I have a question.
Cylon, you know
who does a call in porn line at work? Like he's like making out with his virtual girlfriend while he's at work, knowing that he's at his boss's house. Yeah. Knowing that his boss could walk in at any time. Who the heck does that?
Yeah.
That's weird.
But, you know, really smart computer guys, we can do things that aren't so, you know, accepted by the public.
I was afraid. I wasn't sure where you were going with that statement.
Well, I meant to say things at inappropriate times, I guess, is really
bad. The last show, real quick, is Spartacus. I wanted to talk about that. I mean, I talked about the actor, but this week's episode came on last night, and I watched it. And I have to say, it physically made me ill at the end. Like I felt like I threw up a little bit in my mouth, and it was because. I mean, they give you the thing at the beginning about the brutality and the violence or whatever, and you're like, yeah, whatever. But they literally, it was a good episode, and it was a good episode in that it talked about the brotherhood of the gladiators and what they feel for each other and all that, and it had machinations going on with the bad characters and the very Gaius Baltar-like character that's in there. I was like, God, I want him dead. But, I mean, he's a good villain. He's a great, fantastic villain, and all the storylines are really good, and then there was a character they introduced, and I was like, oh, he's really pretty. I like him. Like, that was pretty much my only criteria for that.
He's pretty.
You know, he was gorgeous. And then they had it was a new character, and then this woman wanted to inspect all her people, so she had all the guys take off their loincloths, and then she picked the guy that was literally hung like a horse. And I was like, is that CGI? Like, it was ridiculous. I was like, holy crap. But
okay.
Then
watch the show.
No, but it was a trip. Well, this might not make you watch the show anyway. But he gets bribed to do something in the episode, and he doesn't, and he fails. And to punish him, they castrate him. And they, like, show him hanging off, like, they crucify him, too, on top of it. And they show him hanging there, and I was like, I was like, oh, my God. Like that, I'm sure, was CGI. But I was just kind of like, wow.
Is there any reason for that? I mean, you were describing this show. It's just like, just nudity all over the place, just blood splattering everywhere. Does it add to the show?
Granted, I personally, the male nudity works for me. Mainly because this is literally pretty much the only show that they do that on. I mean, there's a million shows where they have gratuitous female nudity, and you get bored with it. And some of it, at the beginning, was distracting, and some of it's eye candy, and I'm totally guilty of watching eye candy. I'm not going to argue that, but I did not need to see the castrated scene. I really didn't. They could have cut that out, and I'd have been fine. Like, all they had to do, like, I thought that they had just, like, nailed his hands up, and they were hanging him, and I was like, oh, okay, they crucified him. Okay, cool. And then they're like, we tried to get him to tell us who gave him this information even after we cut off his manhood. And I was like, what? And then they show it, and I was like, no, 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 no. It was awful. It was awful. And hopefully that is as bloody as they ever get it, because I did not need to see that. But on the plus side, the actual story and the people plotting against each other and the revenge and all that stuff and the society and the intrigue, all that's good. Like, I like it. And I like how they're changing the characters and how they're growing. Like, that stuff is good. But, yeah, it got a little gruesome for me yesterday. You got 5 seconds to talk Stargate Universe.
real quick, the shows that I'll be happy when they come back. I'm looking forward to the last season of Rescue Me. And although I was very skeptical about Stargate Universe when it started, and you remember the conversations we had where I was like, I'm done, Libya. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Well, they kind of got me back into it. I'm kind of interested to see what's going on with it. So I can't wait for it to come back.
I have to say, I'm a big Stargate Universe fan, too. And I really didn't think I was going to be either. But yeah, they got me. So I'll be back when they come back as well. But this is that's it. We've hit the 1 hour mark, so we're gonna have to bring this to a close. Any final remarks?
No, it's great to participate in this webcast. Earlier today in St. Louis, we had our St. Patrick's Day parade, and so that kind of signals not only daylight savings for this weekend, but spring is on its way, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, and I look forward to seeing you when you come out this way for Comic-Con. Yay!
Yeah. Can't wait.
Thanks, everybody, for listening for this week. If you have any comments, you can reach us at tvcampfire@gmail.com. And this podcast is always posted on weetinopolis.com. All right. Thanks again. Talk to you guys next week.